Christian greetings, everyone, to this week's Truth Provided broadcast. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. The website is www.remnantofgod.org. This broadcast is going throughout the nation on both AM and FM radio frequencies, as well as microbroadcasters across America. If you also use satellite or internet radio, it's also being broadcast across the globe in that manner. If you're using satellite, we can be found in Galaxy 13, Transponder 16, Audio 7.70. If you want to listen online, it's at firstamendmentradio.com. Just click the listen button on the left side of the screen on the website. If you have any additional information, or if you need any additional information as to what AM and FM frequencies to tune into, please stop by the website and click the Antique Radios on my main page. Gives you an idea as to where the AM and FM stations are at and that. But the micro broadcasters, you more or less have to call the station to find out about them. The phone number to call in is 1-800-858-6582. If you have unlimited long distance, please use 559-733-5161. If you're listening to the broadcast online at firstamendmentradio.com using dial-up and don't have access to a second phone line at this time, I invite you to join me at the website again at remnantofgod.org. Once you get there, you'll see a silver microphone on the main page. Just follow the prompts to the public room once you click that silver microphone. And we're in the POGM audio check section of the website, in the public room. You can share any comments or suggestions you have with me there live during the show. I would also like to thank, again at this time, for those of you listening, for your kind emails and phone calls. I do appreciate them, as they do in fact bring up some very important points. For example, due to last week's broadcast, some may believe that I am a Seventh-day Adventist. Well, I'm here to tell you this day that I am not. I am of the Seventh-day Remnant Church. That both Matthew chapter 20, verse 1 to 7, and Revelation 12, 17 speaks of. For more information, go to www.sdrvoice.org. I would like to solicit your prayers for everybody listening to please make special mention when you go before the throne that we seek the Father's protection and His loving hand to be recognized by our loved ones in Florida during this great trial they find themselves in. Just 2 weeks ago, Hurricane Charley did its damage, and now Francis is over there doing what it's doing. And to make matters worse, from what I understand, Hurricane Ivan looks to be a rather large problem in the coming days for them as well. So please keep them in your prayers. They need strength to endure like never before. Let's get right to it. Before starting, I want to make it clear, I don't much appreciate speaking on topics such as this. Roman Catholicism is such an evil organization that we often find ourselves forced into displaying her dirty laundry so as to warn her followers of the dangers they face staying in such a church as this. Ezekiel 3, verses 18 and 19 says plainly, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest them not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require in thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." I am doing as all Christians should do. We see our fellow man in danger, we must warn them. I am not doing so because I fear having their blood on my hands, but because I have a burden for them, as I was once a member of the Roman Catholic Church. And yes, I have since denounced it as the prophesied house of Antichrist, because I did in fact find that scriptures described it as a wicked and hellish church. As a child of the Creator God, I can only go whithersoever the Lamb leadeth, and he most assuredly would never lead anyone into harm's way. What I'm about to share may come as a shock to some of you listening. Some of our more regular listeners may have heard me touch on this topic briefly in the past, and it bears repeating, so we're going to go with it again. But some of our new listeners may be taken aback with what I'm about to share. Headline: Priests Hit Hard by Hidden AIDS Epidemic. CNN reporting January 31st, 2000. This is an Associated Press article which states, and I only took a small excerpt from this article because CNN doesn't like to tell the whole truth anyway, so. It says, Roman Catholic priests in the United States are dying of AIDS-related illnesses at the rate of four times higher than the general population, and the cause is often concealed on their death certificates, the Kansas City Star reported in a series of stories that started Sunday. Four times the national average? Well, that may seem quite amazing, don't you think? Those that live by the sword shall most assuredly die by the sword. And those that live in this decadent lifestyle will eventually die from the decadent lifestyle. Still, is this a true figure? Or is CNN trying to hide some of the facts that were really reported? Listen to this article that ran beforehand that goes into a little bit more detail. You may want to be ready for a shock. Catholic priests, this is the headline, Catholic priests are dying of AIDS, often in silence, by Judy L. Thomas of the Kansas City Star, January 29th, 2000. And by the way, this is the Kansas City Star. This isn't that tabloid you see in the supermarkets next to the Inquirer or something like that. This is not one of those tabloids. This is a big city newspaper. The article says, hundreds of Roman Catholic priests across the United States have died of AIDS-related illnesses, and hundreds more are living with HIV, the virus that causes the disease. The actual number of AIDS death is difficult to determine, but it appears priests are dying of AIDS at a rate of at least four times that of the general U.S. population, according to estimates from medical experts and priests in an analysis of health statistics by the Kansas City Star. The deaths are of such concern to the church that most dioceses and religious orders now require applicants for the priesthood to take an HIV antibody test before their ordination. Think of it. The Roman Catholic Church now has their priests screened for HIV before being considered. I wonder, if they know you're homosexual but don't have HIV, will they still let you be a priest? Well, obviously it appears this is the case. One would think a person seeking the priesthood would not be one that would need to worry about such things as this. I mean, biblically speaking, we all know that the human priesthood of Christianity was abolished at the cross, and our one and only high priest resides in heaven doing the work of the reinvestigated judgment as we speak. His name, of course, is Jesus Christ. I ask, what priesthood is Rome depicting or claiming here on earth? Is it the Levitical priesthood? Are each of these priests considered high priests, then, if they're not Levitical? What is it? Well, looking back in time, I see that the Bible illustrates priests that did the work of the Lord to be of impeccable character. The only ones I can find in history or the Bible that do as Rome does are pagan priests. The article continues. Through the years, the issue of AIDS deaths among priests have been so sensitive that many of those who later died kept their illnesses a secret. Some death certificates listed AIDS-related conditions such as pneumocystis pneumonia, but never mentioned the disease itself, or certificates were falsified. Falsified documents? I mean, is it any wonder that non-Christians look at Christianity as a farce when you have a mainstream organization such as this running rampant in the name of Jesus Christ? Daily, we see acts of violence, decadence, perversion, and blunt evil spewing from this church. And still, the media and most Protestant leaders call the Pope a godly man who leads these leaders in Rome. And again, I am not talking about the Catholic people. I'm talking about their leaders. By the way, did any of us hear about the church being investigated for falsifying those death certificates? I haven't. I watch this church like a hawk. Rest assured, if John Q. Public were to doctor a certificate, he would no doubt find himself in a court in front of some Roman Catholic judges. Boy, how ironic is that? The article goes on to say, exactly how many priests have died of AIDS or are infected with HIV is unknown, in part because many suffer in solitude. When priests do tell their superiors, the cases generally are handled quietly. Gee, who would have thought? Continuing, it says, either at the priest's request or because church officials are reluctant to discuss them. In 1995, Bishop Emerson J. Moore left the Archdiocese of New York and went to Minnesota, where he died in the hospice of an AIDS-related illness. His death certificate attributed his death to unknown natural causes and listed his occupation as laborer in the manufacturing industry. Well, after a Minnesota AIDS activist filed a complaint, officials changed the cause of death to HIV-related illness. The occupation, however, has not been corrected. Well, truth is, folks, you know, I never heard of this case until now, but, well, from when I first got this article, but what amazes me is the church did not get in any trouble for being caught red-handed lying on the death certificate twice. Not only did they say it wasn't AIDS, they also said that he wasn't a priest. And to make matters worse, once they were caught, they did admit to the AIDS death, but refused to change the occupation of the deceased so as to once again hide the fact that he was a Roman Catholic sodomite priest. And still, they did not get in trouble. And please don't look at me in an ill manner for calling them sodomite priests. The man died of an illness that only sodomites get. I'm only being truthful here. You have to be blunt sometimes. I mean, the Bible doesn't say sin begot a tummy ache. The Bible says sin begets death. The article continues to say, Farley Cleghorn, an epidemiologist with the Institute of Human Virology in Baltimore, said, it was common practice with early cases not to disclose AIDS as a cause of death. The first priest that I saw with AIDS, he said, was back in 1982. We did not put AIDS on the death certificate because he wanted us not to, Klinghardt said. The law says, plainly, that you have to be truthful in that is, I mean, it's a legal document, and if you lie on a legal document, you could incur penalties, but there is no auditing procedure for a death certificate, and without lying, you could say that the terminal event was the stopping of the heart and the cessation of respiration, so you can really, you know, put anything you want there. You know, what I see here is Rome playing the system once again. They know the penalties, if enforced, would be minimal, if at all. I mean, it's just a death certificate. It's not like the guy that died is going to get in any trouble for sure. And they would still be able to get, you know, it hushed up or kept quiet. Common decency is thrown out of the door here. And they have been doing so since, well, on record, 1982. I wonder, were any children infected by these priests? One can rest assured that if they were, the Roman Catholic Church would swoop down on that family with money and even lethal force so as to prevent a scandal such as this. I mean, it would make all the child rapes suspect to such scrutiny that even Rome, with all its billions, would be unable to survive. Lawsuits on the mere possibility of being exposed would no doubt be the norm, and those that were exposed would, well, man, they would just be, you know, rather intense. So, continuing in the article, it says this. The Star alone, through death certificates and interviews with fellow priests and family members, found information on about 100 priests who have died of AIDS nationwide since the mid-80s. And many priests and medical experts now agree that at least 300 priests have died. That translates into an annualized AIDS-related death rate of about 4 per 10,000, four times that of the general population rate, or of roughly 1 per 10,000, and about double the death rate of the adult male population. Now, keep in mind, this is just one investigative reporter digging into this, and it has already been revealed that most of the priests that die of AIDS will never be found, thanks to the false death certificate. So, four times the national average is most likely a spurious total. In fact, the article goes on to say that other statistics and experts suggest that those estimates are too conservative. Now, for example, they go on in the article to give somewhat of a breakdown as to what I'm talking about there. The annual death rate, or annualized death rate, of priests confirmed by the Star who have died of AIDS in Kansas and Missouri from 1987 to 1999 is 7 per 10,000, or 7 times that of the general population, because it's 1 per 10,000 of the general population, whereas with Catholic priests it's 7. That death rate is consistent with the rate calculated by the Star after reviewing the death certificates of priests who died in California, Missouri, and Massachusetts in 1995. Again, please make note that this single, solitary investigative reporter for the Kansas City Star is only taking into account the totals she has found in 3 states when speaking of the 1995 totals. Only 3, not 50. And not even the rest of the world. And one more note of interest would be that is now, it's September of 2004 that I'm sharing these facts. The article was written and published in January of 2000. In fact, my January 2000 newsletter was on this particular topic. Kind of makes one wonder as to how many are dying now, doesn't it? Well, according to the article, it is far worse than we once thought. The finding: 6 priests, or 7.3 per 10,000, died of AIDS in those states that year. The AIDS death, you know, the AIDS death rate of the general population in those states in 95 is 1.8 per 10,000. A.W. Richard Sipe, a former priest who had spent more than 30 years studying sexuality issues in the church, thinks that, about 750 priests nationwide have died of such illnesses. Remember how the article can only find 300? That's because it's just an investigative reporter. It's not somebody with an inside, you know, look on these things. This guy was a former priest. Continuing, it says, that would translate into an AIDS-related death rate of 8 times that of the general population. Joseph Barone, a New Jersey psychiatrist and AIDS expert, puts the number of U.S. priests who have died at nearly 11 times the rate of the general population. And the church doesn't want to admit it. 11 times the rate of the general population of the USA? 11 times? Is this not an open and shut case, people? Does this make one wonder if, in fact, Cardinal Bernardine, did he die of AIDS instead of cancer, as the Vatican stated back in November of 96? Do you recall Stephen Cook, who came forward some years back proclaiming that he was molested by Cardinal Bernardine and some other bishop? Do you also remember that Cook was dying of AIDS when he came forward? I mean, the anger got to him. They killed me. In other words, they introduced him to the homosexual lifestyle, and then it cost him his life. He came forward because he needed money before he died. He wanted to make sure some loved ones would be taken care of. And do you also recall that his memory suddenly changed the very next day after receiving a large sum of money from the church? And finally, do you also recall that Bernardine died soon afterwards of what the Roman Catholic Church was calling cancer? You know, by the way, if Cook really did have bogus implanted memories, as the church claimed that day, My question is it possible to remove such memories within hours? Are there not documented cases the world over that to remove such artificially implanted memories is an ongoing tedious task that can take months and usually years to correct successfully, if at all? So how is it Cook's memory is corrected within hours after making that public announcement? Does the Roman Catholic Church have a miraculous cure? No, not unless, of course, you count greed. Money can remove many problems in the lives of those it controls, they think. By the way, I know some of you may be thinking, numbers this large usually mean one thing. Science taught us many years ago that the best way to find where an epidemic started is to trace it back to the source. This is always the case. Wherever the largest concentrate of infected individuals is, one can only come to the conclusion that this is where the epidemic began. Case in point, this is how they found Typhoid Mary. Am I saying AIDS began in the Roman Catholic priesthood? Well, with Roman Catholic priests dying of AIDS 11 times greater than anybody else, you do the math. I'm kind of busy here. Even if none of the prophecies that openly prove this church is being controlled by the beast were ever to be uttered, this evidence of decadent behavior should be proof enough for those loyal Catholics still trapped within its walls to get out now. These vile and putrid fruits speak volumes onto the heart that this is not the Church of Jesus Christ. Denial of this fact must end in your hearts now. This church has been puffing up its chest, proclaiming itself another God on earth for so long that it finally has come to a place of open and apparent judgment before the eyes of man. And according to the book of Revelation, this open evidence of evil within this church is going to get more graphic in the days to come. By the way, I originally reported on this decadence in Rome back in January of 2000 when the world, when word came out about the AIDS epidemic. Within those few years, we have seen a bevy of evils come forth from Rome, everything from the massive child molestation scandal to the lawsuits the Vatican is dealing with now regarding war crimes that they did with Hitler. How long will this church of apparent evil pronounce they walk as Jesus proclaimed his children would walk? How long will they torture, murder, molest, deceive, and destroy? How long shall this church mock a mighty and ever-living God? Well, at the rate of 11 times the national average, it don't appear much longer. So I ask, is homosexuality a problem in the Roman Catholic Church? It appears to be the case, doesn't it? Over the last few years, the Roman Catholic Church has openly and rather disgustingly declared its approval of homosexual lifestyle. A lifestyle that is not only bluntly condemned in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament as well. So why is it a professed Christian church is having such a brood of problems with such an abomination as this? Need I ask? In the Word, we find truth in this matter. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13 says, If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Notice how death and blood are more or less in the same sentence. I mean, isn't the recompense of the evil upon the blood of the man anyway? You know, people from the world over claim this passage is obsolete mainly because it is found within the pages of the Old Testament, even though the Lord God states ever so plainly in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, that I am the Lord, I change not. You know, just because it's in the Old Testament doesn't mean it's abolished. If that were so, why did Jesus and his apostles, before and after his resurrection and ascension, quote so often from the books of the Old Testament? Okay, fine, they were writing anew at the time, but hey, this is Jesus Christ we're talking about, and this is his apostles. They used the Old Testament while they were preaching. And then the New Testament that the words they were preaching were put into the New Testament, which confirms the Old Testament. If the Old Testament is no longer valid on this subject, then have the Roman Church explain these verses. Romans chapter 1, verse verses 26 and 27 says, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust towards one another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet." What did I say earlier about the recompense of the evil is upon the blood of the man? Look at 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate." That's homosexuality, effeminate. "Nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Why? I mean, isn't it plainly written in that Old Testament that nobody likes to look at anymore as stating plainly that sin will not rear its ugly head a second time? After the executive judgment, or the second death, Satan's not going to have a second chance. All this tempting, all this decadence, all this garbage that he's been pulling on this planet is over. It will not happen again. All these things that the people would embrace, everything from being drunkards to being homosexual, all that stuff, gone. Only the cream of the crop's getting into heaven. Those who want to embrace these things, well, what does it say about Ephraim? He is joined to his idols. Leave him alone. 1 Timothy 1, verses 8 to 10 says, "But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers or fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, and for them that defile themselves with mankind, or for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine." It is easily seen in the New Testament that the sin of homosexuality is still considered an abomination unto the Lord. Yet, the Catholic Church has been wrestling with this sin for hundreds of years. In fact, I believe that they have had this problem since day one. We know this was a pagan problem, and Daniel himself prophesied that this church would be homosexual in nature in Daniel 11:37. Got a little bit more to share after the break. Stick around. See you in a few minutes. Welcome back, everybody. This is Nicholas with Presence of God Ministry. The website's at www.remnantofgod.org. The phone number to call in is 1-800-858-6582. 559-733-5161 is the number to use if you have unlimited long distance. The email address for the ministry, I will not broadcast online, over the air. Just go to the website, remnantofgod.org, go to the Contact Us page, and fill out the form. please be sure to put your email address in the box that asks for it. It's not absolutely necessary, but it'd be nice if you put it in there because the forms are coming back to me. I've designed them to come back completely anonymously. So, but that can change at any time, you know, because certain emails do need to be, well, it's nice to know the source. Let's just put it that way with some of the emails that this ministry does get. So, anyway. Oh, and by the way, if any of you are curious as to my denominational status, so many people have asked and wondered if I was a Seventh-day Adventist. I am not. Revelation 12:17 says there will be a church that comes out of that one that will do as we're doing. And so does Matthew 20, verses 1 to 7, when it speaks of the four movements. We're in the 11th hour, and we are, in fact, doing what we were called to do. For more information on that fact, go to sdrvoice.org. All right, getting back to where we left off, I was talking about how it's easily seen in the New Testament that the sin of homosexuality is still considered an abomination unto the Lord. Yet, the Roman Catholic Church has been wrestling with this sin for hundreds of years. And in fact, I do believe they have been wrestling with this since their inception, because Daniel 11, verse 37 says that this church will neither regard the God of his fathers nor desire women. So how do they justify doing these vile acts that they're doing? Well, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 to 11 says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. They justify it with an unbiblical twist on God's word. Simply put, a lie is what they base this on, because that's all they believe. You can actually use this passage in a multitude of ways when asking or even speaking of Catholic dogma, or asking a priest about Catholic dogma or doctrine. However, I'll stick to the subject at hand for now. In an article about homosexuals, in San Francisco, we see that Bishop, Roman Catholic Bishop Leveda, making the following statements. This went on back in 1997, on February 16th, the Chicago Sun-Times reporting in the section Religion, page 34. Under the article, San Francisco Catholic Charities battle over benefits for gay partners. The excerpt of the article that I pulled out says, Catholic Charities has more than $5 million worth of contracts with the city. But for Leveda, that's Bishop Leveda, by the way, more important is the Catholic doctrine that says, while being homosexual is not a sin. This statement in that newspaper, for all to read, is in direct conflict with what the Word of God reveals as truth on this matter. And one would wonder why the Roman Catholic Church would take such a stand and make such an open and bold statement that can be easily thwarted in the Word of God. Well, reading just a little bit further in that exact same article, it's revealed why Roman Catholic Bishop Leveda would make such a statement as that. It says that gays and lesbians are a significant voting bloc in San Francisco. So, there you have it. I mean, did you notice at the beginning of the article? It was rather plainly put. It stated that the church had more than $5 million worth of contracts with the city of San Francisco. And as I'm sure many are aware, San Francisco is predominantly homosexual. And my research has been dragging up lately that the grand majority, upwards of, this is hard to believe, I'm hoping it's wrong, but 80% of the real estate in San Francisco is Roman Catholic Vatican owned. I mean, let's put two and two together. They more or less own all the buildings in that city, and that is the largest city on the planet. The biggest organization, it's a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah. So it's fitting that the Vatican would own most of the real estate. If anybody has any documentation to help confirm that fact, because I'm researching this for and our, you know, for a broadcast as well as a page on the site. This is what I'm getting, that most of the real estate, like I'm talking the high-rises and stuff, too, in the city, are owned by the Vatican. There is some ties to some bishops. In other words, Vatican interests, all of it. If it isn't directly stating the Vatican, some bishop or some high-to-do Roman Catholic family owns it, who has strong ties to the Vatican itself. So, and we all know that San Francisco is predominantly homosexual. So, do you think, you know, because the article said that the church has $5 million worth of contracts with the city, and it also said that there's a significant voting block in that city of gays and lesbians. Do you think if Rome would have kept the faith according to the truth revealed in God's word, they would jeopardize their meal ticket in that city by being voted down? Well, it's a no-brainer. I mean, it certainly does not take a neurosurgeon to figure that one out. It's so sad when a church that is trusted by literally billions decides to crash downward by putting the almighty dollar before the almighty creator. Oh, and his written word. Isn't this always the case with this church? It always places its desires before that of the God they profess to worship. But again, I think I should stick with the subject here. So, think of all the trusting souls within this church that may have been wrestling with homosexuality in their lives or the lives of their loved ones. They just received the final okay. They just received the final okay and sanction from the church that they needed to make the decision whether to explore this burning sensation of sin from within themselves. The other outlook is their family and friends have just been told it's no longer sin for them to walk this way. So why bother preaching to their loved ones about the dangers of their sin-filled lifestyle? Think about those true Christians that have homosexuals in their families and how much harder it is now to combat this situation when a church of this magnitude says that they're okay. They're heaven-bound. Oh, they didn't say they were heaven-bound? Well, another article on the same subject even goes a bit further in its acceptance of immorality over godliness. It's also from that cardinal that supposedly never molested anybody by the name of Steve Cook and supposedly never died of AIDS. Cardinal Bernardine stated in the Chicago Sun-Times on October 21, 1994, on page 18 under the article that's titled Bernardine Letter Tackles Hot Topics for Teenagers. It sickens me to think that they're telling this stuff to the kids, but anyways, it says, the article goes on to say, it says, gays are children of God, that they should be loved, and that the Catholics ought to defend their rights. God's plan for sexuality is best fulfilled in a stable union, but to teach that in no way is to belittle the person who may have a homosexual orientation. Now, I'm not saying we should go out and show hatred toward every homosexual we meet. Not at all. This is not what Jesus Christ would have you, me, or anybody do. We have an open evangelistic field here. I don't even care if you live in Canada. Because Canada, if you talk to somebody about homosexuality with a Bible in your hands, you get 5 years in jail. But to say, for a Roman Catholic cardinal, I mean, that's the only one above a cardinal is a pope. That's the rank of order. You got pope, cardinal, bishop, priests, and then nuns, and then altar boys. But to say that homosexuals are children of God lends one to believe that this lifestyle is accepted by God. A child of God is one that believes and follows their Lord in all aspects of life, including sexuality. For the Bible tells us how to be the children of God. Ephesians 5:1 says, we must be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. If we walk in conflict to his word, if we do something that the Bible says is an abomination, how can we be his children? How can we say we are following God when we walk against his will? Reading a few verses further, we find a true description of one who would delight in this sinful lifestyle. Ephesians 5:6 says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Again, sin begets death. It does not say in the Bible that sin begets a tummy ache. So if the Bible is going to be blunt, I'm going to have to stand that ground. Homosexuals are not children of God. They are children of disobedience. For Bernardine to say that all Catholics must defend their rights would mean all Catholics must now acknowledge sin as an alternative lifestyle approved by their church. He is openly saying that they have the right to live as homosexuals and fellow Catholics must defend their right to be homosexual. He used those words in the article. It says defend their rights. And in the same breath, he is saying they are not in sin when he states God's plan. He says this. He says God's plan for sexuality is best fulfilled in a stable union. In other words, he is saying this may not be the best union that God's plan for sexuality entails. Using the word best here is to imply there are other ways within God's plan besides the best way. The word best is strategically placed in that statement. The way I see it, the word best here should be replaced with the word only. God's plan for sexuality is only fulfilled in a stable union. That, and then only then is it made clear what scriptures define as a stable union, assuming, of course, that Bernardine is using the word stable to imply man and women. You know, you can't ask the man, he's not here anymore. But of course, this is not the desire of the Catholic Church, for all areas must remain open so as to allow for so coveted implications that sin can be grasped as a desired choice sanctioned by the Church. This eventually results in 100% allegiance to be granted unto Satan in the deepest areas of the heart when the Christian believes that which he or she is doing no longer is considered a sin. And this is one very lethal mistake. By the way, did you notice the title of that article? It was Bernardine's Letter Tackles Hot Topics for Teenagers. Still, this church attacks the youth of the world, and no one seems to notice. They are making homosexual lifestyle appear normal and acceptable to teenagers in this article. And this is just one mere article. I mean, there are thousands, literally thousands of these articles all over the internet directed right at all our children now. It's obvious Rome is hoping to create a majority here. In April of 2001, the church stated this headline: Catholic Church reaches out to gays. April 9th, 2001, Stephen Hoopa reporting, Religion Today, Scripps Howard News Service. In an effort to make its parishes more open and welcoming to homosexuals, a growing number of U.S. dioceses have established a ministry for gay and lesbian Catholics. But the ministry has not been easy. Church teaching also stresses the inherent dignity and worth of homosexuals. He said, there is no moral guilt in being homosexual. And so the church's job is to help homosexuals live chaste lives. Homosexuals are encouraged to receive the sacraments and participate in church life so long as they abide by church teaching. You know, both Old and New Testament scriptures declare homosexual lifestyle is an abomination unto God. If they're going to talk about church teachings, well, it's obvious they don't use the Bible, because if they did, they can't say church teachings, because then it would have to go and coincide with the Bible. But we all know the Catholic Church does not want to use the Bible. I mean, instead of saying what they're saying here, they should be evangelizing these people to repent of their sinful desires and become heterosexual. You know, however, if you are a Catholic, it's not only okay to be homosexual, it's considered an accepted Christian choice. The word is plain. Homosexuality is an abomination to God. These people need prayer and healing. They need demons cast out of them. Now, truth is, people, to mock a mighty God is just plain stupid. His word has no gray areas when speaking of this sin, or any sin. The fact of the matter is this. The Roman Catholic Church says the homosexual lifestyle is not sin, and the faithful Catholics must believe that what their leaders say is true, even if it can be proven otherwise by using their very own Bibles. In fact, there are numerous situations in Roman Catholic doctrinal statements as well that can be proven in direct conflict with God's Word simply by opening a Bible. The Catechism of Roman Catholics has already been proven by this ministry, as well as many others, to be a lie. I used to teach from this book when I was a Catholic. Over 86% of their doctrines have absolutely no basis in Scripture. The doctrinal book in question is The Convert's Catechism of Catholic Doctrine. It has 112 pages by Peter Geierman, CSSR, of the B. Herder Book Company, 15th and 17th South Broadway, St. Louis, Missouri, 1946 edition. Now, were you aware that out of the 448 questions in that book of Catholic doctrine, there were 776 answers due to the fact that many of the questions had multiple answers? Some of them had as many as 17 answers to a single question. For example, when someone is asking the names for what the names of the apostles were, you would get 13 answers. The reason you would get 13, of course, is because Judas committed suicide and Matthias took his place. Out of these questions regarding Catholic doctrine, were you aware that there were only 56 Bible verses listed as answers to the questions? And more than and I'm not kidding, I have the book right here. I went through it page by page and I counted by hand. I was doing an article on it, so I had to make sure. 56 Bible verses used for 448, or better yet, for 776 answers. 56 Bible verses. And more than 75% of those Bible verses were taken completely out of context to twist, to make it appear as if these were truth. But for the sake of illustration, let's give the Vatican the benefit of the doubt here and assume that all 56 Bible verses were used in context, just for the sake of illustration. That would mean Bible verses used, 56 Bible verses used for 776 answers actually equates to 13.8%. Did you get that? 13.8% of the questions had Bible verses to explain or confirm them. That means a whopping 86.2% of the answers were nowhere to be found in a Christian Bible. Yes, the faithful Catholic ignores this, because they're taught to. And could the following quote I'm going to share with you have anything to do with it? Well, I say yes. It's from the Spirit of Exercise by, well, they call him St. Ignatius. He was the first Jesuit. He had these hallucinations they called visions. It's on page 41 of his book. This is Ignatius de Loyola. He says, "We should always be ready to accept this principle. I will believe that the white that I see is black, if the hierarchical church defines it as such." So, yes, the Catholics ignore certain facts. And this appears that this is the case. This is exactly what got me to leave this church many years ago. I recall reading the Bible, certain doctrinal facts. Then I read in the Catechism that the Roman Catholic Church was teaching the exact opposite of what the Scriptures taught. Well, they do tell you that black is white now. And they do teach that you better believe it or else. Their priests place themselves over and above the Bible as so many little mini-gods. You know, some may think that Rome has only recently become a homosexual organization. But when looking into the Vatican with all its perverted artworks of naked men, one must realize a deep ingrained lust for the male body is apparent here. I mean, look at the paintings on the ceilings of the Sistine Chapel alone. The grand majority depict naked men running about all over the place. Sure, some will declare that some of these men have sheets of fabric covering their private parts. But looking closer, it appears that they are either painted to suggest those towels are just about ready to fall off, or they are painted to suggest that they should be completely naked in the first place. I mean, it's over. I mean, if you can go, there's websites. Just look for Google, or, well, I wouldn't suggest using Google. Go to All the Web or something, alltheweb.com, and put in Vatican artwork and check out some of the artwork. It's disgusting. I mean, anyway, the Roman Catholic Church can tell you to their face that they have no problem with homosexuality. Many of their priests can look you square in the eye and tell you bold-faced lies that they are not sodomites. They can even recruit their parishioners to go on an all-out campaign proclaiming the Roman Catholic Church is not having a problem with homosexual priests. Just like they had an all-out campaign ever since I started the ministry almost 20 years ago, saying that no, the Catholic Church never killed anybody during the Dark Ages. And then March 12, 2000 comes along and the Pope admits that's exactly what they did. And so all these people that now found out that their church was lying to them stay in the church anyway. Not all of them, though. Now, I know they're coming out. I get good emails, too, you know. But anyway, getting back to the Roman Catholic Church's proclaiming in this campaign that they don't have a problem with homosexual priests. They can't. They can even alert the media and say that the homosexual lifestyle is not necessarily a sin, so that the obviously homosexual priests can be accepted as homosexual, but not in sin. They had to get the majority moved on their end because they know they can't do anything else now. There's just too many homosexual priests. It's just it's over the hill. They got to change the laws because they certainly can't change the men. I mean, they suggested zero tolerance when it first came out, but when they realized, oh my gosh, the totals are that big. If we say zero tolerance, we're going to lose all these guys. And then look what happened just a couple of weeks ago in Austria. They're still doing it, and they got caught again doing it. And do you see any hands getting slapped? I don't. And I've been watching it for 2-3 weeks, and still nothing in the media about that 40,000 pictures in an Austrian seminary where they were teaching young boys how to become priests and at the same time introducing them to homosexual lifestyle and taking photos of them in all these decadent poses with their instructors. You know, they could tell you these bold-faced lies that their priests do not practice the homosexual lifestyle. But the fact of the matter is this, lies are very easy to expose. So how long will it take? How long will they continue to attack the children of this world? Again, I say unto you that at the rate of 11 times the national average, not much longer. Now, one last note. Now, I know this is a touchy subject. I didn't want to talk on it this week, I mean, but, you know, it just kept on looming over my head all week long. And some of you may have even been offended by some of the truths that were laid out here. And I don't apologize. That might become your enemy because I tell you the truth. So, before you send me emails proclaiming yourself as one who was created or born homosexual, you need to address these simple facts before emailing me. Because I will be asking you to explain these to me when you contact me. The Word declares, rather plainly, that homosexuality is an abomination. That is no longer a debatable issue now. It is written. There is no way around that. Plus, even your most vocal advocates declare as such when they have laws passed that place Christians in jail for using a Bible to try and warn you. They fear the Word of God so much, it's so apparent now. They know it's there. They know they can't change that. By the way, just recently it was reported that some homosexual Hollywood stars admit to ripping out certain pages of the Bibles that they're finding in the hotel rooms that they frequent, so that truth seekers in the future will never find the truth regarding the decadent lifestyle that they embrace. How many pages, I ask, will they have to rip out? I mean, there's a lot of evidence in that and that these lifestyles is evil in the Holy Writ. Plus, biblical fact is this. Even if they do rip out all those pages, it is still well known that nothing evil comes from above. So I ask, how can a God that already stated in His Word that this lifestyle is a sin create people to perform that lifestyle? If that's too confusing, let me ask you this plain and to the point statement instead, because I'll ask you this as well if you email me. If you were born or created homosexual, why is it you have sexual parts in your body that are designed for the opposite sex? If you were created homosexual, you would have no need of these parts, now would you? Unless, of course, you worship a lesser God who kind of like, oops, messed up when he made you. Reality boldly proclaims loud and clear that your own physical body now testifies against you. It is not only scientifically impossible, it is spiritually impossible for anyone to be created homosexual. You can't even evolve to that point, because if you did, the human race would end. So the fact of the matter is this, it's a choice, or as in most cases, it's a possession. Simple truth can be so blunted sometimes, eh? And I do mean possession. I've seen the articles, have you? Where some people have put full-page ads in the newspapers declaring that they at one time were homosexual and now they are no longer because they have embraced Christ as Lord. That decadent lifestyle left them immediately. They don't even have a desire anymore. You want freedom from that? All you have to do is go to Christ. Well, it looks like we're out of time. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministries signing off for this week. Stop by the website for all that I shared here and more. It's at remnantofgod.org. Thanks go out to FirstAmendmentRadio.com for allowing the present truth to be broadcast freely. Don't forget to catch the rebroadcast of the show on Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Central Time. And please stop by again next Sunday evening at 8 o'clock Central Time for the Truth Provided broadcast. See you next time, everybody. God bless.